All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv Fluff Tube Edition. I am with Ron Partain. I got to tell you, deploying all assets, we're seeing absolute liberal hysteria. Absolute hysteria. They're going nuts. Talk about panic. And I think they're just worried. They're worried that, you know, everything they throw at Trump, he keeps growing and growing and growing in popularity. And his numbers keep rising and rising, and they are panicked. They don't know what to do. At this point, they have no idea what to do. They even sent Robert De Niro to the courthouse. You got the women on The View, the chicken heads on The View, going crazy. They don't know what to do. They're throwing everything. They think that his supporters are just dumb hillbillies in the woods, in the trailer parks, that don't know what's going on. These people are awake. We are awake. We're watching everything go down in live time. And no better guest to talk this over with than Ron Partain. Ron, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, brother. Good to see you, man.
Folks, get your gut cleanse. Speaking of digestive issues, this is caused by potential toxin that's in all the, quote, healthy foods that scientists have been telling us to eat with a fraudulent food pyramid for the longest time. And this potential toxin causes digestive issues, according to Dr. Gundry, world-renowned cardiologist. This is affecting millions of people nationwide. Warning signs include weight gain and fatigue and digestive discomfort and stiff joints, even skin problems. Well, Dr. Gundry explains these side effects are often mistaken for normal signs of aging because digestive issues develop usually over a matter of years, and sometimes even decades. I can assure you that the damage is probably caused by these health foods, and it's far from normal. The good news is you can easily help fix the problems from your own home. It's very simple. You just have to know which foods are actually healthy and which contain this hidden potential toxin, folks. Because after years of research, Dr. Gundry has decided to release an informative video to the public for free, uninterrupted, showcasing exactly which foods you need to avoid. And I avoid them. I'm losing a lot of weight right now. Can you tell? Can you tell I've lost a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little too much. I need to start packing it back on. Go to gutcleanseprotocol.com/Nino. gutcleanseprotocol.com/Nino. Get started, folks. Take care of your body. Actually, I was shocked to know what foods they are. I'm not allowed to say what they are, but I'm staying away from them. And it'll shock all of you. All right, Ron.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, man, there's a lot going on. They're deploying all assets. I want to catch up. I want to recap on everything. Let's take a look real quick.
There's a lot of stuff, man. There's no shortage to talk about. No shortage to talk about.
Oh, dude, this whole week has been bananas. Bananas.
Yes. I think that's an understatement.
Let's start with this.
2016, it was like a joke. This buffoon running for president. No, never could happen. We'd forgotten the lessons of history that showed us other clowns who weren't taken seriously. And I don't mean to scare you. No, wait. Maybe I do mean to scare you.
See, does he not realize he's insulting millions upon millions of people right here by doing this? By calling him a buffoon, 90 million plus Americans or more, who knows how much,
right,
are highly insulted by what this man is saying. They think we're dumb, Ron.
Well,
if Trump returns to the White House, you can kiss these freedoms goodbye that we all take for granted. And elections, forget about it. That's over. That's done. If he gets in, I can tell you right now, he will never leave. He will never leave.
The Biden campaign bringing in actor Robert De Niro for a press conference outside of Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial.
Well, I mean, then when he leaves, right? Is that when it gets good, right?
Well,
here?
Yeah. So somebody says talking about lying under oath, and he's like, what? Lying under oath? And then it just like it spiraled downward from there. He just, go ahead, play it.
Trial yesterday. He slammed the former president as a loser and a clown bent on destroying American democracy. But he didn't just say those things at the microphones that the Biden campaign presumably was expecting. He also clashed with Trump supporters outside the courthouse.
They're traitors. I don't even know how to deal with you, my friend. I don't even know how to deal with you.
That's take right, that stupid hat off. You're a bunch of clowns. When you see this guy get elected, you.
Texas,
Jason Miller, of course, was out there. He's the Trump campaign spokesman.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there were some other things he said. He said all a bunch of gangsters, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, as he's made a fortune doing gangster movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And this, I mean, it is so obvious that there's just sheer panic hitting these people, right? I mean, it's just, I mean, for De Niro, just like when he came out that one time and goes, F-U-C-K Trump. F-U-C-K, remember when he said it at the award ceremony, whatever that was? This guy is terrified. What kind of skeletons does he have in his closet? There's all kinds of stuff being posted right now all over the internet with this guy doing like certain kind of scenes with other men. And then there's like things that look, we all know that he has a history. A lot of these people do, and they're terrified. So when they got to call De Niro up and say, hey, we need you at the courthouse. We need you. Because what do they think? They still think we're in that paradigm, that celebrity paradigm where people actually look up to these people and follow what they say. That paradigm is broken, shattered. It's done with. Don't you agree?
1,000%. I mean, what are they hoping to get with De Niro? I mean, De Niro, for the longest time, he's lost favor amongst the people for a long time. He was one of the first because he came out. It was after Trump got elected. He came out he was basically on the attack Trump train right from the very get go. So, you know, there's a lot of animosity, but maybe they thought that because it was New York City, he was going to get, maybe resonate with some people. But, you know, I mean, look at what happened with, when Trump did the rally in the Bronx.
I mean, 80,000,
tons of people, and those weren't people that were bussed in; those were freaking locals.
So look at this here. Look at here. Here's another person, another liberal who's absolutely terrified.
Released this morning, you know who told Time magazine what he would do if he gets back in the White House. Things like this. He's going to let states monitor a woman's pregnancy.
Yeah. Right. Give it back to the states. What's wrong with that?
Right.
Okay. So, but do you see how they're spinning it here negatively? Because they have no other way to play this.
Think about that.
Yeah. Think about it. Gives it back to the states. States do.
He's going to deploy the military to deport migrants.
Okay. We all know the truth behind that. And we all know what's going to be, what that entails. And my audience knows exactly what that entails and what that actually means.
That's
these
code.
People are terrified. Yeah, exact code. Thank you, Ron.
And the Mexicans are going to pay for it.
And he's going to absolutely consider pardoning.
Of course.
Okay, hold on. But that's if you buy the narrative, right, Ron? I mean, Ron?
That's correct.
So
that's
look what they're pushing here. Look what they're doing. This is evil.
Well, again, they are thinking that they're playing to the narrative, and they are. They're playing to the whims of the people who only watch television to get their news, and that's basically people like probably that are like in 50 plus. The
he
younger generation,
he...
they're not reaching any of the younger generation with this shit.
Right.
Thinks there will be political violence if he loses, and he answered, it depends.
Is he referring to something he was wearing?
I predict these women are gonna be out of a job real soon. At best
fire already.
so is this, I mean, there's also, this is my favorite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you before I say it that it enraged me. There is a definite anti-white feeling in the country right now.
Oh, please.
Yeah, that's what he said. You know, sir.
No, sir.
Yeah.
Wait, why does she have a problem with that?
Nah.
You know, this is crazy. I mean, look at the snarl on her face right now. Look at that snarl.
Yeah, she is terrified. Or terrified. Terrified. Did you hear?
Nobody in your family was hung.
Oh, stop it. No, stop it. Just stop it.
That's just old and tiring. You know, when they talk.
But remember I've said before, Ron, that they're sending out agitators. It's almost like they're trying to spark unrest and this civil war atmosphere, right?
Yeah. I want to address something that she said about the anti-white. You know, she talked about how, this enraged me about the anti-white. Do you remember that kid, Charlie Chan or whatever his name was, but he was an Asian kid, and he did about a 16-minute video, and he says, and the title of it was, "What Are We Doing to White People?" And it was very well done, very methodical, and he's like probably like young, early 20s, late teens, early 20s. And he did a video where he played a bunch of clips from people about basically talking about anti-white, and it's cool to be anti-white. And there is a general sentiment in the country that if you're white and male, you can't even get hired to do a job for the most part.
I just had an author of the book The Unprotected Class on my show talking about that. Mm-hmm. But what were you going to say? You think Trump is making the right pivot going to long form podcasting? Was that what you were telling me earlier?
Yeah. So, the last day or two, he did the Timcast. Tim Pool.
There's going to be the largest deportation.
Yeah. Tim Pool right here.
Yeah. It was like a two hour podcast. And if
you think that's the right pivot.
Oh, absolutely. Look at how Vivek Ramaswamy did it. Vivek Ramaswamy, who was essentially an unknown, came out of nowhere, and everything that he did was long form podcasts. And that's how he got his name out there for the most part. I mean, that was his grassroots way of reaching the people. Now, the most people who get to go meet Trump and sit down with him and talk to him, they get to see him in a different light than people otherwise would, right? If Trump does that, and then the younger generation gets to see a different side of Trump that is in total contrast to what the mainstream media has been telling them for 8 years, never mind whether it's real or not. But if he does that and he shows a different side of himself, the side that we all believe is there and know is there, but maybe haven't had the opportunity to see, it's going to be, I mean, you know how Juan always talked about, we needed to get to 80% of the people, right?
Right.
Well, we're on the cusp of 80+. And if he starts to do that with the long form podcasting, with the podcasters, and he goes out and does all of the podcasters like Rogan and
because Biden's not going to be able to do that.
No, he can't. For 2 hours, 2-3 hours? Are you kidding? No way.
Let's show this little clip here. And I have a theory. I feel like the Democrats or the liberals are really throwing a lot of gasoline on this immigration thing, because when Mr. T goes in there and starts cleaning house, we're going to see they're hoping at least for massive chaos, and that is what will spark what they hope a civil war is. This is the question I'm posing.
I don't know if it's a civil war,
because they will be certainly activated. They'll be activated.
Chaos, certainly.
I happen to know that a lot of military grade weaponry is coming through the border. I'm right here on the border. Okay, well, who's it going to? I don't know.
Listen, I've got plenty of. I know plenty of people in law enforcement, and listen, I'm not naive.
Right. Let's play this just for a second.
You've said that there's going to be the largest deportation effort in your next term. How do we do the top issue for them now? I was talking to a young guy, he's 26. He says he's watching what's going on in New York. He owns a business. He can't afford to buy his own house. He struggles to be able to support a family. And I know that.
Well, what I do know is, and I've heard Juan talk about this many, many times, is they'll be in detention camps. Massive detention camps that I've heard about. And what I'm concerned about is a real ID. What's your thoughts on the real ID, the national ID?
We have real ID now. That's what, if you want to get a driver's license that is, that qualifies to get on a plane, you have to go get a driver's license that has the little gold star on it. That's real ID. So we already have.
But what is this ID that Juan's talking about? He's brought it up many, many times, talking about an ID that will have to be used for voting. It'll be a national ID act that comes through that Trump will push through, and it'll have a chip in it. Now, does this one have that already?
We already have that. That's what's
something's going to be different about this one, though. Yeah. Something's going to be different.
Maybe
illegals won't be able to. I mean, obviously, I don't think can they get one now. I don't even know what they qualify for.
No, depends. It depends on how you get it. If you just get a regular driver's license, you can get that. But if you're going to get something that qualifies to get on a plane, you have to provide certain documents that go above and beyond what just the general stuff for a driver's license. At least that's what it was for me, because I have an Arizona license, and in order for me to get the license that had to be able to fly for federal purposes, I had to provide a bunch of documentation, extra documentation. So,
I guess you've heard that they've also been all these people that are coming over here, they're being tracked and traced. We know who they all are. I've heard Juan say that it'll be just months. We'll be able to get majority of them within months.
Very likely. Well, I mean, and not just that, but I mean,
but also make it intolerable for them to want to stay here. They'll just have to leave, from what I'm understanding.
If there's no money, if they shut the money off and the money's no good, if the dollar hyperinflates and the value of the currency, they don't work, and the value of the currency's gone to shit, and then there's chaos everywhere, you know, if they may be the ones causing the chaos. But if there's no food or you know, electricity, or, you know, I mean, if everything is falling apart, then what?
I just got a call from Alex Collier. Are you familiar with Alex Collier?
No.
He's been a great guest on my show a few times. He said in 1957, the Federal Reserve had a deal with Saudi Arabia for the petrodollar, world reserve currency. June 9th. Is it expiring? That's what he told me. June 9th, it expires, and they're not renewing. No longer. So, in other words, the petrodollar, the world reserve currency that we had a deal in 1957 as the Federal Reserve with Saudi Arabia, the petrodollar.
I think he's got the numbers transposed to probably 75.
But he says June 9th, it expires, this coming June 9th, and they're not renewing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, well, the petrodollar. I'm looking it up right now. Let's see here. June 9. Is this the end of the petrodollar? This is from March 24th of 2023. In case you're wondering, petrodollars are not real currency. The untold story behind Saudi Arabia's 41-year, not the dollar not trading. Is Saudi Arabia dropping the petrodollar? Let me look at this article real quick. The end of the petrodollar. Let's see here. In case you're wondering, petrodollar is not real currency. They're simply dollars being used to trade oil. In the early 1970s, the government provided economic aid to Saudi Arabia, its chief oil-producing rival, in exchange for assurance that Riyadh would price its crude exports exclusively in the dollar. In 1975, other members of the Organized Petroleum Exports Countries, or OPEC, followed suit, and the petrodollar was born. So that was from 1975, and I don't see anything about them not renewing it. I don't see a June 9th date.
June 9th expires. That's what he just told me right now. I just got the message.
He could be right. I'll
leave it up to my folks. Look that up. My Nino Knights, my black sheep family, look into that. Is it happening June 9th? Trust me, I have some good investigators in my audience.
Wrong. Yeah.
So right here it says jury deliberations have started in Trump's trial. Here's how they work. Now, I had Ivan Raiklin on talking about the plan that the RNC has once he's convicted, if he's guilty, that they're going to try to slide someone in, like, for the nomination, like, because it's close to convention. They'll try to slide in a Nikki Haley or a Ron DeSantis, even a Mike Pence. What's your thoughts on that? So if they're saying and then, of course, you know what's going to happen. All hell will break loose.
Yeah, all hell will break loose. But again, you've got to realize that, you know, the neocons on the right are just as guilty as the left at wanting this, you know, at wanting our system to collapse. So, you know, I have no doubt that the the high echelons of power in the Republican Party are, you know, doing what they can to make sure that he's not given the, you know, the nomination isn't his. And that's why I think that's why they're terrified of what's happening with the jury deliberation.
Yeah. So for more than 5 weeks, the 12 unidentified jurors in Donald J. Trump's Manhattan criminal trial have listened to opening statements, witness testimony, closing arguments, and the judge's final instructions. Now their deliberations have begun. The jurors retreated behind closed doors of an unremarkable rectangular room on Wednesday and started to debate whether the first president to be criminally prosecuted has committed felony crimes. So they're really panicked. They're hoping, but I don't think it's going to matter, Ron. Obviously, you know why. No. You know my stance on this. I think it's an unconventional way that he's maneuvered it. Mr. T gets into the office, but I don't think this is going to matter to you. But I do see the RNC pulling something out of their sleeve saying, we can't have a convicted felon. We're going to have to maneuver Nikki Haley or Mike Pence or Ron DeSantis in. I can see them doing that.
There would, man, you know, talk about chaos. There would be unimaginable chaos. He is the overwhelming favorite on the conservative side, on the Republican side. I mean, people are the amount of people that are re-registering as Republicans instead of being a Democrat or a Libertarian or whatever party, you know. The amount of people that are unregistering their party's affiliates and then re-registering as Republicans to specifically make sure that they can vote for Trump or just the Republican ticket, you know, down ballot, you know, ours all the way. It's, I mean, we are witnessing right now the basically the transition of power from, you know, it's going to be ugly to get there. But we are witnessing that power transfer, like
right now,
like Trump talked about at the very remember at the inauguration in 2017, when he at the very very outset of the inauguration he said this inauguration is different from all others because this is the beginning of transferring power from Washington D.C. back to you the people. And when right. he's that the military was behind him, the military right. was standing behind him at that moment. So, you know, I know that you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, man, and I know a lot of people, and there's a lot of people out there who think that there's, you know, there's no hope and that the military's lost.
I know, but just be careful what you say here.
Well, there very well may be some of that, but I am of the opinion that, you know, there are still good people out there fighting the good fight. And I call me naive, maybe call me gullible. I don't know. But I
agree with you
that we're gonna prevail. But I just think it's gonna be a rough road to get there.
While the jury deliberates, it's common to wait days or even weeks for a verdict. Prosecutors charged Mr. Trump with 34 felony charges of falsifying business records related to $130,000 hush money payment to the porn star Stormy Daniels on the eve of the 2016 election.
It was interesting because they're all over MSNBC and CNN. I mean, they all have, like, you know, these roundtables and panels of people that are talking about, you know, what's happening with this. And they've got judges and lawyers that are, you know, hardcore lefties that are saying, man, I don't see it there. They've done a good job with the evidence that they have, but they have not. I mean, there's no way in hell that they have been able to, overcome reasonable doubt. And they're preparing everybody that.
So they're really deploying all assets. They're scared to death that he's.
They're terrified.
Yeah, I'm saying it doesn't matter. But they're still in that. They're still locked into that paradigm of they really believe that if he's found guilty, they're going to try to pull a switcheroo. They think it's going to benefit him. I'm going to say it's not going to matter. That's what I'm going to say. Do you agree with me?
Oh, 100%. Remember when he said I could be in the middle of an intersection and shoot somebody and people would still vote for me. Do you remember when he said that?
I remember something. I don't remember that particular. He said a lot of things, but he said a lot of shit. But I don't remember that one. That could be one of many.
No, but yeah, really, right now, everybody knows that it's a sham trial. I mean, and anybody who's paying attention knows that it's a sham trial. And if he's convicted, it's only going to strengthen him. It's like what was it, Obi-Wan Kenobi, when he said, you know, if you kill me, Darth, I will become more powerful than you could possibly imagine. And that's exactly what's happening. He is essentially Obi-Wan Kenobi right now.
Oh, my gosh. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And then so much so that let's talk about this. The articles that are coming out right now about him at the Libertarian. Trump pretends he wasn't booed relentlessly at the Libertarian event, which he wasn't. I watched it. I saw it. They're misconstruing
this. It was definitely a hostile crowd.
It was a hostile crowd, but he was doing damn well to me. I saw it. He was not getting booed relentlessly. It wasn't that bad.
Well, this is the mainstream media, dude. Come on.
Right.
But see, there's a couple of really important parts about this that people aren't. They're focusing on the booing. There's a couple of things that he talked about respective to the economy that were enormous, unimaginable proportions. Number one, no CBDC. Number two, he talked about protecting crypto. Number three, big thing to the libertarian crowd, he told them that he would pardon Ross Ulbricht. And if anybody doesn't know who Ross Ulbricht is, he's the guy who started the Silk Road. Now, whatever your stance is on drugs and whatever. But Ross Ulbricht is a guy who he might have been. There's potential there that he was railroaded, and he's serving a life sentence in federal prison in Colorado. So and he told them, he's kind of a folk hero or a cult hero in the libertarian movement. And he said that on day one he'd pardon him. So that's a big deal.
And then here says RFK loses in first round of Libertarian Party's presidential nomination vote. Trump didn't file paperwork to qualify.
I didn't even know that.
I think RFK is tanking like a lead balloon.
Oh, he is.
I mean, he's just. I mean, and it all started with his VP pick. And we know who she's backed by, but we can't say it on here. So don't say it. But
I won't. RFK. Everybody thinks RFK is like a libertarian. I mean, he may have it right when it comes to things that go in your arm, but that's the only thing he's got right. I mean, he sounds like he may as well be on his team. I mean,
100%, 100%.
Anybody who's not on board with they need to be incarcerated or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, really? What?
Yeah. Man, so many people are waking up to what's really going on, and we're seeing through the sheep clothing the wolves are wearing. We're seeing, before people couldn't really identify them or use so much, even have any kind of discernment. They had no awareness. And now, thank God to podcasting and people making their voices heard, people waking up, the exposing that happened in 2020 and beyond, what's happening now. People are waking up in droves, and people know now you can't fool us with the old magic, the old systems trickery. It doesn't, dude, that system's done. We're in a new consciousness now. Don't you agree? Like, we are now
1,000%.
You can't put us back into that old shoebox of consciousness. We are now awake, and 1,000%. People aren't working anymore.
I just sent you a clip. I just sent you a clip on the chat. That is freaking hilarious. You want to talk about countries mocking the United States? This is a short video. It's only it's like a minute and a half.
What is it?
This is the Italian, basically the Italian version of Saturday Night Live mocking Joe Biden.
All right. You want me to play this?
Yeah, play it real quick.
Edition of Only in America. Hey, benvenuti a tutti. You're watching the U.S. Report, and now it's time for a special Italian-style edition of Only in America.
Tuo pal americano.
Now, you may have noticed that...
Is this Australia?
Yeah, but just keep
many American comedians are still shying away from making fun of Joe Biden because, well, you know, they want to get work in a Democrat-dominated Hollywood. Italians, they don't have that problem. Have a look at this Italian sketch comedy show that's been doing a better job poking fun at Biden than most American TV shows.
Buonasera, Presidente Biden. Presidente. Good evening, Mr. President Biden. President. Here we are, Presidente Biden. Qui.
Here.
Yes.
This is crazy.
Forgot to take the pills.
No, ma non sono le pillole, non sono le medicine.
I called the nurse.
No. Yes.
And this has become a regular skit.
You'll never see that here.
Keep going.
On this show, because a few days later, they had another show. Look at this.
Buonasera, Presidente Biden. Oh. Presidente Biden, President, Mr. President. It's okay.
It's okay, President.
Okay, tutto a posto. Welcome, benvenuto. Oh, di nuovo, mamma mia. President, Mr. President, ecco.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, it's okay.
Yeah, very good. What's your name?
Con chi parla? Mr. President.
My name is Joe Kennedy.
No, Biden, lei è Biden. Biden, ma...
Is there more?
No, that's just kind of a Cliff's Notes version of it. It was a little bit longer, but it was merciless. But I mean, that's what the world is doing. And there was another one that happened in Saudi Arabia that very similar. It's like, I mean, they're just making total fun of him. I love it. I used to love watching Saturday Night Live when they would make fun of
when they were funny.
Yeah, when they were funny, exactly. You know. I mean, and you know, I love humor, and I love it when they, even if they're making fun of guys that I like, it's to me it's hilarious. But you notice that they're not making fun of Biden at all.
No, we should start a new slogan: "Make America Funny Again."
Yeah, seriously,
seriously.
Because look at the humor.
Comedy's dead. Comedy's been dead. People are so scared. I mean, it's so polarized, it's so charged, it's just like, people are scared to voice their opinions, and you used to be able to do that through comedy.
Yeah. Cancel culture has killed comedy.
Destroyed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And lawfare.
Yeah, and lawfare. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's your prediction on this, man? Do you think that, where do you, guilty or not guilty, man?
Not guilty.
Not guilty,
or I think it's going to be a hung jury because I think there are people I think there are people that are there that they want to convict no matter what, and then there are others who are that are like, yeah, you know what, I just, this is, you know, they're reasonable people and they're like, eh, this is a political hit job. And they're not gonna buy into it. You're gonna have the people that are the hardcore lefties that are gonna be like, yes, he's guilty no matter what. And then, you know, the others, there's gonna be, you've got 12 people, right? Yeah. Well, 12 people have to agree. It's gotta be all or nothing. Yeah. So
I think why they're panicking and deploying all assets right now?
Yeah.
And if they don't get a guilty verdict, what's next for them? If this doesn't work, what's next? You know where I'm going with this. You know what I believe.
Well,
everyone knows what I believe on.
Man, I think it's, you know, I think we're heading for chaos, dude. You know, when, you know, talk about the
I think either way.
Hot summer, you know.
I had Ivan Ranklin on .tv talking about Nino's Corner.tv talking about plan. You know, he put together that 350 name list, which I'm not going to go into on here. If you want to see it, folks, go to ninoscorner.tv. It's epic. I just put it up today. And he's talking about Paul Ryan, Mike Pence, all of them, Nikki Haley, all maneuvering somebody. Paul Ryan and Mike Pence basically maneuvering somebody in to take the nominee away from Trump. Because convention is just, when is convention? It's June, right? It's just around the corner. Regardless, look at the timing of this.
Close. Let's see. Republican convention 2024, July 15th through 18th.
Okay, so it's just right around the corner.
It's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Wow. All right. So depending on what happens here. So I think they got a trick up their sleeve. I don't even know what to call on here, man. I don't know if I had to bet. I'm going to go with you, hung jury. Ah, man, if not guilty would be something, but I know his Secret Service is already meeting with Rikers. Did you know they're already meeting with the jailers at Rikers Island?
Well, I mean, I heard they were. Yeah. But I mean, it's contingencies, you know, I mean, they have to plan for all contingencies.
I've heard also that, you know, if he wouldn't be put behind bars, he would be on house arrest, something like that. But then we've also heard, Ron, that he would have to go away for a while, you know, that he'd have to be out of public view for other things to happen. We've also heard that.
Well, I think that's what's happened now. I think that's what happened in, in 2021. At the inauguration, you know, going away, he's been away. He's been there.
You're right. So you're saying by Biden being where he's at, Trump is actually, he might have to go away for a while.
Right.
So this is the pause.
Right.
I think you're right. I think you're 100% right, Ron. You're right. When he says, I have to go away for a while, this is it.
Yeah.
This is him being away. So, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So going away, you're not necessarily staying behind bars.
Right.
Good point. That's a good one.
Because if you think about it, they have to own everything.
Yeah.
They have to own everything. He's totally insulated. And that's what it said. President would be.
Boy, these next few days, the next couple of weeks are going to be pretty intense.
Dude, it's going to be intense. It's going to be intense all the way up until November. You know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think that we would get to where we are today without absolute chaos, truly. And, you know, as the economy tanks further and people start to get more and more desperate, look at the price of gold, look at the price of silver, and with Trump saying the stuff that he did about crypto now. People are going to be putting money into those assets because he's already said, look, we have to have, you know, we need to be a world leader in that. Right. So if he's talking about being a leader in crypto, people are now going to feel safe in putting their money into that. So that's only going to make it grow.
Yeah.
So now
your choice in crypto is XRP, correct?
Oh, he is big. But not just XRP. I mean, you know, I actually have a few meme coins now, and I have I've got some AI tokens, and you know, I've got a little bit of everything because why not? You know, I mean, did I ever tell you that back in 2011 I was going to buy $100 worth of Bitcoin, and I couldn't figure it out, and I didn't do it. Well, Bitcoin was a penny at the time. Well, $100 would have been 10,000 Bitcoin.
Oh my gosh. That
would be worth $700 million today.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wait, oh my God. Do you want to kick yourself?
That would have been a $100 investment would be worth $700 million today. So my point is that, you know, on my audience, I always try to tell them, look, you know, don't just reject cryptos because you don't like it, you know, or you want gold or silver.
What is XRP right now?
It's like 53 cents, 52, 53 cents.
And you think that's going to outshine Bitcoin, or you think they'll just coexist? Oh, yeah.
Well, I think they're going to coexist. But I think that, Bitcoin has a value because of
What do you see XRP going to?
Well, I mean, XRP. If XRP is used the way it's used as basically liquidity, on demand liquidity for the world, the way everybody's been talking, I mean, it outperformed Bitcoin in terms of by percentage in 2017, and you know, everybody in the everybody's talking about right now that we're in the super cycle for the bull run in the crypto arena. I don't see it yet. And I'm fearful with the, you know, the value of the dollar collapsing. But if Trump's coming out now and saying that, hey, crypto's a good thing and we've got to keep it going, and they're trying to get rid of the, you know, and they're trying to get rid of the dollar, then I can definitely see a transition from the Federal Reserve note into cryptocurrencies and digital assets as a whole. You know, I mean, but it has to do something, and it can't just be something that doesn't have a functionality. And XRP, all the ISO tokens, they have functionality. They are going to do something and benefit, and, you know, level playing field, you know. And anyway, I'm a big XRP guy. If you had to ask me what I think it's going to be, I don't know.
I don't think any of us. I don't. It's a gamble.
$100 a token, $1,000 a token. Wow. I've heard anywhere from estimates anywhere from, you know, $10 to $10,000 to $50,000 a token. You know, and of course that's comparing it to today's dollars, you know.
Yeah.
We are already seeing inflation, you know. Anybody who can't see inflation is blind. Yeah. So I'm just of the opinion that, you know, hey, gold, silver, yes, but don't just reject crypto because you are, and I hate saying crypto, actually digital assets more accurately, but don't reject that because you don't understand it. And in fact, back in 1995 didn't understand what email was, but you couldn't imagine living today without email.
Very valid point.
And, you know, 10 years from now, we're going to look back, and the people who rejected crypto said, oh man, they're going to have such regrets if they don't just get something in it now. And the more people that start to adopt crypto, the better it is going to be for the people who are actually in it now, because that's only going to bring more money in and increase the market capitalization of the entire market, which is only going to grow the market, which is going to make everybody better. So, I mean, the more people get in and put money in, the bigger it's going to grow. And once you get mass adoption, it's over. It's going to make basically what we are in. And in terms of the digital market is, and this is a financial advice, but we are essentially it's like 1995 with Amazon.
Mm. I agree with that.
So,
well, Ron, thanks for coming on, man. This was epic. Untoldhistory.us, folks. Yep. Go check them out. Also, ninoscorner.tv. It's on fire right now. Fire. Check out the Ivan Raiklin 350 name list. And what will happen if there's a guilty verdict? He goes into detail of what's up the RNC's sleeve. Pretty crazy. Ron, thank you for joining me, man.
Hey, man. Thanks for the invite, bro.
Let's do some more, because I got a feeling this is about to get wild. Everything's just going to get crazier and crazier as it goes.
I agree. 1,000%.